The following Daf Yomi recording begins with today's Daf from the 13th International Cycle. It's followed by a very fast review of the Daf that allows you to listen to the whole Daf within 5 to 10 minutes. That's followed by exactly the same Daf at greater length, deeper explanations, and with a different group of people, either from the previous 12th cycle or even the 11th, and sometimes even the 10th. Today's daf from Masechet Ta'anit, brought to you by Beit Chomot Yerushalayim, is daf Chof Beit. We're holding on that first of the longer lines. You recall that yesterday we had a little bit of competition about how often you get regards from the Masifta Derekiah. And Abaya was terribly upset because Abba Umna was getting every single day regards. Abaya was only getting regards once a week, and he was told that there's no way he could ever compete with Abba Umna. And of course, Rava only got regards once a year on Erev Yom Kippur. He too was quite upset about Abaya's outdoing him like that. And so the Gemara begins today with having Kachosha Da'ate de Rava Mishum Da'Abaya. And Rava felt sick about his own terrible madrega, so itchazile b'chalma amrule, he had this dream in which he was told, "Nistayacha de kamaganita kula karcha." Look, you know, how much do you want to draw out of your account? It's good enough that you are using your skuyot, that they're taking care of the entire city, so that, you know, a force field takes a great deal of electricity, and all that energy, you want to start using it up for regards from the Masifta Derekiah. Stick to your place, you know. Anyway, that's how some learn. Machlok is whether there's obviously other pshatim, and creating a force field, you need to sort of be present in one place and dissipate your energies because you wreck the force field. Anyway, getting back to our story of maisim, of individuals or considered to be particularly chashuv and are able to save themselves from collapsing buildings or faster than a speeding bullet. No, I'm sorry. Or perhaps it was the question of saving the entire city from a dleika or from dever and so on. Of course, this is all agav, our mishnah, talking about various sarot and what it takes to get out of those sarot. So we bring some other interesting stories over here. And the maisa was that Rebroka Choza used to often walk through the Shuka de Bei Levet. So he was he had business in the marketplace of Levet. And Eliyahu Hanavi used to be a common companion. And one day they were walking along in the Shuk of Lefet, and Rebroka Chozo looks around. It does not look like there's anybody very special in that Shuk.
Lefet is a place.
Yeah. So he asks Eliyahu Hanavi, he says, is there anybody around here that's a Bar Alma Da'ati? Yes, Eliyahu. Anybody that could be called a Ben Olam Haba? Oh, we're like, nope, nothing much around. All of a sudden, this guy comes in. He sees this guy who was wearing these black shoes. Of course, no self-respecting Jew would be wearing. Tennis shoes. This guy, actually, there's a question of what the minute was of his role. It's clear that in this place, his role did not wear black shoes. Sometime, but what about the sugya that we had about not sending a gift of white shoes, meaning undyed shoes, because it wouldn't be unyantiv, because it wouldn't be right to use, and so on and so forth. Right, so, I mean, look, there's obvious differences between undyed shoes and black shoes. I mean, does one extreme, the other's not undyed. But others say that the difference is that perhaps the shoelaces, the Jews used to use pretty shoelaces, and only the goyim would wear black shoes with black shoelaces. I mean, that was awful. Others say that it was just different menagim, and in that place it was from the Gemara that it was that menagim. It's definitely a little strange that one should just take for granted that Messiah Uchma is by definition something terrible. The Lo Rami Chuta Techalta Begrime, he wasn't even wearing trelas, he was wearing those white tzitzis. Some people wear those white tzitzis. And he didn't have any tzitzis in his garment. And Eliyahu points to him. He says, there goes that. There he is. Catch him. Hi, Bar Alma Da'ati. That's a Ben Olam Haba. So he goes running after Rod Patrick because he wants to find out, like, what is so great about this guy. Normally, my Uvda. Can you tell me, like, what it is that you do that's so great? I'm like, well, I can, but not right now. Bye. Come back tomorrow. Same time, same station. So, Lamachar, sure enough, he comes back, Rebroka Choza, and he meets the same guy, and he says, now can you tell me? I'm like, yeah, I'll tell you. I am a zandukna. I am actually a jailer, and I am in charge of the jail that takes care of all the Jews in the area, and I work for the government, and basically they don't know that I'm Jewish. So what I do in the jail is asarna gavri lechud v'na Shilchot. I keep the men and women separate. And I even put my own chambers and my own bedroom between the two sides. Reina Purai, then Hani Mahani. Ke'echo Leitu Lidei Yisur. You know, jails are great places for making out. Ke'echazina Bat Yisrael, they have Nochrim Alay and Nayim. When I see there's this Jewish girl and there's Goyim in the jail, and they figure they can take advantage of, you know, prisoner, do what you want. So I Muzer Nefesh, and I Matzil her, no matter what it takes. Matzil Nala. There was once a Maisa where they had this young Jewish girl who was just Nara Murasa. She was going to be married, and she was thrown in jail. And I saw that everybody had their eyes on her. Yavu Nanachri Minayu. So I went ahead and Chakadu Dai the Chamer. I took a bottle of old wine, and I poured it around her begotten that they should think she's bleeding. Vahari Distanahi, and then they would turn them off that she was in Nida. Or Malay. So how come you know where it sits? And how come you wear those awful black shoes? So my time let Lechachuti and Ramita Masani Uchmi. Or Malay, because I'm always in disguise. I walk around as if I'm a goy. Okay. And you know, they figure the jailer, they never curse them that I'm Jewish, so they don't, they're not careful about what they say. And I find out whenever there's plans against the Jews. I run to the Rabbonim, Madana the Rabbonim, and they're Mavakish Rachamim, and they're Mavato the Gezera before the whole thing comes out. And of course, the earlier the Mavakish Rachamim, before people know about it, it's much easier. Like it says, Mavakish Rachamim Shelo Yechala. Once something is out in the open, it's a Gezera, it's much harder to be Mavato. So my time my uvda. How come yesterday I asked you, what do you do? And you said, sir, I can't talk to you. You told me to go away and come back tomorrow. So Marta Zil Idim Atalamacha. Because when you walked over to me, I had just overheard something. And I figured, look, every minute counts. I'm not going to sit and talk to you. So Amina Beresha Azav Ashman Rabbanon de Laboy Rachman Ladamilta. At first, I should run to the Beis Medrash, tell Rabbanon what's going on. And I couldn't talk to you in that minute. And Achi, while they're talking, another two people show up in the market. And Elio whispers to Rabroka, psst, these guys also. So he goes over to them. And he says to them, what do you guys do? On Malay, we're clowns. Whenever we see sad people, we put on a show. Where's La Principessa? This is for her, Richie.
She's right here.
Well, then she should listen carefully. La Principessa.
Sounds great.
So anyway, so they said that we are clowns. And when we see sad people, we immediately go over and we put on a little show. We get them laughing. Or if we find out that there are people that are having an argument, which sometimes happens between man and wife, you know. So what do? So we go over there. The best way to bring peace, put a little humor in the situation, you know. So that's our business. So these were the guys who were B'nai Olam Haba. Anyway, getting back to the Mishnah. Al Elu Matriim B'chol Makom. Tanu Rabbanon Al Elu Matriim B'chol Makom. Al HaShidafon V'Al HaYirakon V'Al Arbeh V'Chasiro V'Al Chaya Ra'ah. So we listed these various issues. And here it says that you're supposed to, we said there was a little bit of a machlokas, and even though the order of the Mishnah and so too of this Braita is that Shidafon and Yerakon. Yerakon certainly seems not to be referring to a problem of a hepatitis epidemic, although there are those who learn that it's referring to human yerakon, but that creates a little bit of a problem because then we should have put it together with the post-agricultural problems, which is shidafon arba chasil and then yerakon chayra'ah. We'll put it together with dever later. So certainly the simple mashmaut is the way that most learn that yerakon is referring to an agricultural problem in which the leaves are turning color and obviously they're being affected by some type of virus, and shidafon is where you've got these heavy winds and they're just destroying the truah from the inside. And Rabbi Akiva says the shear on Shidafon and Yerakon is the slightest bit, because once this stuff appears, it spreads and it affects just about everything. And Arbe v'Chasil, I don't care if in the whole country you found only one locust. And this is considered to be a Makat Medina, and Bechol Makon, you have to assume that it's going to affect you. The Al Chayara. Now, what does a Chayara mean? I mean, look, there's places where these animals are meant to be. I mean, you can't call a Chayara unless it's doing something that makes it appear that there's some kind of gezera in Hashemayim. So, I mean, obviously, the guy goes to, you know, like these Japanese tourists. They love to do this. They go to all the safaris in South Africa. When wherever it says, do not leave your car, that's where they go, set up their camera, everything will be fine. And they're invariably eaten up. And then, you know, they try suing the safari.
You're not going to like this. I'm not? Asleep for the first time in my life. I was in the safari.
There we go.
And
then
we rolled down the windows for the lions.
Barney, yes, neighbor. I don't know, Barnea. Safari in Ramadan. I mean, come on. In any event, what would be the shiur of chayara'ah? So chayara'ah, says the Brayta Tanna Rabbanan, chayara'ah she'amru bisman she mishulachat. So only if it's clearly sent min hashamayim in a way that is unusual and not natural, so then matri'ina leha. But if it's in a mishulachat, I mean, that's part of nature. You know, you want to walk into the maw of the animal. It's not anybody else's problem. So there in matri'ina leha. And what would define that? We've got a number of different criteria, and some of these criteria seem to be contradictory. So let's learn them first, and then we'll ask about them as the Gemara is about to do. So first, the brightness is like this: what would be considered to be mishulachat? Well, near eight to be ear mishulachat. Chai is walking through the city. That seems to be something most unnatural, and therefore would be viewed as a gizera. But besadeh in a mishulachat, if the chaya was seen bayom, I'm not clear where that bayom is. That bayom in the ear. Or we'll see in a moment. But bayom mishulachat balayla ina mishulachat. To be out at night is not unusual for a chaya. If the animal sees two humans and chases them, then it's mishulachat, which is weird because we just said before, even if it's visible, near it, it's mishulachat. And then when we said sada, we didn't say that to chase anybody, so something is strange. So if it chases two people, then it's considered to be mishulachat. If it's nechbet bipdeyim, if it runs away from those people, then it's not mishulachat, which is contradictory right there, because those are two opposite extremes. What happened in the middle? I mean, to chase, that is one extreme, and to hide from them is another extreme. How about if it just holds its ground? So both are... both present contradictory middles. Okay, so we'll have to see about that. Tarfash nebnei adam vechla achad mihem. If it attacks two people and eats only one of them, then it's mishulach. But if it eats both of them, then it's not mishulach. But again, that's weird, because even if we'd just seen, or even if just chased them, or stood its ground, I mean, as the case might be, I mean, something's going on here in which we're obviously expected to make some intelligent sets so we can understand where each one of these criteria applies. And if it was al-talagag, if it enters into a building and grabs a child, the minarisa, that's called mishulach. Okay, now, there's a lot of contradictions. Agufakasha. Let's go through the contradictions here. You first said, nirata be'ir mishulacha. Okay, if it's visible in a city, I didn't say it matters whether it's daytime or nighttime. It's not supposed to be in the city. Mashmalat loshna b'yom loshna b'layla. All right, then you say, but if it's seen b'yom, it's mishulacha. If it's seen b'layla, it's ain't a mishulacha. So what's the meaning of that? No, that's all meant to be read together. It means, nirata be'ir, but when? B'yom. So there's mishulacha. But a chaya is sometimes will wander into a city. B'layla, that's not called mishulacha. Now, the next case was inami bisadeh, or if it was in the sada as opposed to the city, then it would never be mishulacha just at being seen. That would be afilu biyom. But in the city, if ratash nei bnei adam, it sees two people and it's ratzacharein, it's mishulacha. Wait a minute. If it's ratzdalei mishulachat, so then the implication is that if it stood its ground, it didn't chase them, it would not be mishulachat. But in the very next word you say, if it runs away from them, it's not mishulachat. But if it stands its ground, ha'omedeh, then it is mishulachat. So that obviously there's two types of sada. In one type of sada, even standing its ground is mishulachat. And in the other type of sada, the standing its ground is not mishulachat. What would be the difference? The difference would be its sense of security, obviously, in that field. Well, in a field, it's exposed, and therefore it's feeling a bit vulnerable. So normally two humans come by, it's not feeling very comfortable, and runs and hides. But if it's a sada hasmucha la'agam, if it's within an easy leap into a marsh, which is filled with all types of hiding places and bushes and so on, so then it's not going to run away. It'll hold its ground, wait until it sees whether the people are dangerous or not, and if they make a move, it can jump into the agam. So over there, standing its ground is not mishulachat. And a sada she'inas mucha la'agam, but in a field where it does not feel very comfortable and doesn't have where to hide in case the humans turn out to be hunters, so then it would normally try to hide. So that is, of course, that's already three darkas. So we have the ear, even if it's nira. We have the sada, which is smucha la'agam, where if it stands its ground, it's not. But if it chases after them, it is mishulacha. And then we have the city, the sada, which is the smucha la'agam, which is not smucha la'agam, where over there, even just standing its ground would be considered to be unusual and mishulacha. Okay, then we've got an even crazier case. Here it says, tarfash nebnei adam ke'achad. But it actually attacks people and eats only one of them, then it's mishulacha. Shnei ena mishulacha. A minute ago you said even if it just chases them. Now it's got to eat them? And it's got to dafke eat only one of them because otherwise it's just hungry? Omer of Popeye. Yes, that's talking about in the Agam, which it's own area. So it's right there, you're in the middle of the safari. So there, if it's stomatex, and it's not hungry, so the dafka leaves the body. So then you're wondering, I mean, so what's the point of the attack? You see that as mishulachat. But for an animal to attack even a human in its own territory is not considered to be mishulachat. Who told you to go in and start taking pictures in the middle of the safari? Now, gufa al talagad. Now, this part is, if it goes up lagad, then it's obviously in a building. If it's in a building, so then what do I need that it should go up and it should take a child out of the crib? I mean, what do we need such a crazy situation for? That lati nokmar is a mishulachat. Pshita. Omrif papa. Now, here we're talking about bekuvi de tzayadin. Here we're talking about a building. It doesn't mean a real building. It means a hunter's hide in an area which is a place where the animals are. And you bedavka, of course, nowadays, hunters' hides are camera hides. So they build these little, as you know, everybody goes as far as knows this. They build a hide, and you're able to go into the hide, and you stay there for hours on end. And you get these incredible shots of animals that are coming very close, not knowing that you're there. They usually put them near a watering hole or something, and you get these fantastic shots. So there, if an animal will come inside the hide, and then that's unusual. So there, even that's called bishulacha. Al hacherev. So then we start talking about, and on cherev, I mean, that means war. I understand. I mean, what would be more? I mean, that's the psukim, you know? About and that's the most obvious thing. So the point of the Mishnah is not talking about a war. Obviously, when it has something to do with a war, so then if it's against you, of course you're supposed to be misdal. This is talking about even an army that is passing through your territory with no intent to wage war against you. Nonetheless, that's considered to be a tzara. Afilu cherev shel shalom, and we know historically the terrible, terrible story of Melech Yoshiyahu. Ein lecha cherev shel shalom yoter miparo necho. I mean, look, there's no better example of Paro Necho, who basically alpi the Nevius of Yeshayahu was meant to be heading towards Ashur, and he says beferish to Yoshiyahu, says, "What's the matter with you? I'm on my way basically to do God's job. You know, we're going to take care of Ashur. What do you want? I shouldn't pass through Eretz Yisrael to get to Ashur from Mitzrayim. What do you want me to do? You know, leave me alone. You should be on my side. I'm not trying to stop me." And nonetheless, Afal Pikin, Nichshal Melech Yoshiyahu. Melech Yoshiyahu was Nichshal, as we'll see, and he ended up killed by this cherev, which was essentially a cherev Shel Shalom, Shenemar. Because it says like this, Vayishlach Elav Malachim. Paro Necho sends Malachim to Yoshiyahu and says to him, "What the heck is wrong with you? Ma'aliv Alach Melech Yudah. What is your objection to my passing through your country? Lo Alecha Atayon. I'm not to have no evil designs against you guys. Kel Beit Milchamti VeElohim Amar LeVa'aleni. And God told me I'm supposed to do this fast." Most learn that means I'll be the Nevius of Yeshayahu. Chadal Lecha MeElohim Asher Imi. You better not start up with the gods that are with me, which of course is not a reference to the Nevius, but is rather a reference to his own personal gods. V'al Yashkitecha. Don't get yourself messed up by starting up with me, because I would hate to have to take you out, you know. And nonetheless, he goes and he attacks him. So what is the meaning of Elohim Asher Imi as opposed to Elohim Amar LeVa'aleni? So the Elohim Asher Imi, says Rabbi Yehuda Merab, is clearly a reference to Avodah Zorah. So Yoshiyahu says to himself, he's being Boteach in Avodah Zorah. That's not tolerable. Obviously, I'm going to be able to get rid of this guy. And we'll see why he felt it was so important, which of course comes back to explain why we should be Matria, even on Cherev Shel Shalom. And what happens? What happens is that Paro Necho actually commands his snipers to go after Yoshiyahu, seeing him as the main target. So it says, "Vayoru hayorim lamelech Yoshiyahu, vayomer hamelech la'avadav ha'aviruni kecheliti be'od." I've been mortally wounded. So let's try chaliti ma'od. I'm in terrible, terrible shape. I mean, I think it's a chaliti. Omer Rav Yehuda Merab Mahamad Shasu Kol Gufo Chichvara. They shot him up so much that they turned his body into a sieve. Other places, I mean, it's a Lashon Dugma, but you'll remember that it says Yoru Bo Shalosh Meos Chitim. We don't wear chitzi. There was a Shalosh Meos anyway, so it's a Lashon Dugma. Omer Shmuel Bar Nachmini. Omer Rab. It's the question whether it's to say Rabbi Yud or whether Rabbi Yochanan. Mipnei Mane Nash Yoshio. Why indeed was he punished so badly? Mipnei Shahaya Lo Limalech B'Yirmiyo V'Lo Nimlach. He should have asked Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu was there. Not only was Yirmiyahu there, but Yirmiyahu had been saying terrible things about him, about his generation. And he didn't take it seriously, because he was convinced that he had done whatever is possible to do. We know that Yoshiyahu was the leader of this massive tshuva movement. He sent around thousands of people to go from door to door, make sure that they got Avodah Zorah out of every home. And what more can he do? you know, like, I mean, that is a door of tzidkus. So he thought that he had addressed all the issues of Yirmiyahu. And what does he need to talk to Yirmiyahu? It's a preferential pasuk. My dorash, what pasuk was he dorash? It says, v'cherev, it says b'chukotai, that part of the brochot, are that cherev lo to'avor b'artzachem. So he said, what's the pshat? A sword will not pass through your country. What does that mean, he says? By cherev. What does it mean to say that there will be peace? It says, there'll be peace. So what is the cherev referring to? Obviously, this is saying, even a cherev shel shalom, right? And he figured, why would his door not be ro'ui to the brachos of bechukotai after they had made a brit themselves? To be shamer all of the Torah. So then I'm supposed to ask Yirmiyahu whether the pasuk is applies. I don't understand. You're not supposed to be dorish b'neviim. The Akash Baruch Hu tells you. But you can't rely on what a pasuk says. All of a sudden I got to start asking some human being. However, what he should have checked with Yirmiyahu is whether, in fact, he was wrong for that brit, because he should have suspected that the things that Yirmiyahu was saying were things that were beneath the surface that he had not dealt with. And in fact, is exactly what it was talking about. He didn't know that his generation does not measure up properly to the standards that he thought it had. So, as he was dying, Yirmiyahu sees his lips moving. He's obviously trying to say something. Is it possible, said Yirmiyahu, that even at this point he doesn't realize he's done something wrong, instead he's being misrayim about what happened? Gochin v'shami, he bends over to hear what he's saying, and he hears him saying that he's being matzdik dina nafshe, and he says, Tzadiku Hashem ki piu mariti. This was something that I did wrong, that I took for granted instead of asking Yirmiyahu. And that's when Yirmiyahu said the pasuk from Eicha that we say all the time, Ruach Apenu Mashiach Hashem, Nilkat Beshchitotav, the very breath of our life, who was Yoshio, who was the greatest thing that we had. He kept our door going. The Mashiach Hashem, who was Mashiach HaZamelach, he was caught in the Shchitut of his door, in the Shchitut of the destruction of Paro Necho, because that was the language of Paro Necho used. Don't make me be mashkid you, right? I don't wanna get you, I don't wanna have to destroy you. So the simple meaning, that's the Targum over there, is the Shkitut, the reference of Nilkad Shkitutam of the Mitzrim. It's a double meaning, undoubtedly. So anyway, that is what the reference is in our Mishnah to the same type of situation. So obviously, if the bracha is that there shouldn't even be a cherev shel shalom, it means that there's danger, just like that single wing of a grasshopper is a sign of danger, or just like we had the beginning of something with shidafon, we had Gemara ask, what do you mean? There's no shidafon. It's just that there's been 40 days without rain, but there hasn't been any impact. You know, or like the story of Rabbi Yehuda. Well, you know, it's not any impact on the agriculture. It's just a couple of locusts. Yeah. So in other words, they're supposed to have their bags with them. It's the same idea. These kind of things are laden and pregnant with problems. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu is mevorech us, and if we're zoicha, we won't have to suffer it. And if in fact we do see that it's coming, we have to pray about it. We have to be misan on it. Okay, continues the Gemara, the Mishnah. Ma'asev yarduzik enib Yerushalayim la'orehem. It was once a single tiny bit of what appeared to be an agricultural plague. And it was just enough, Kamalik Pitanur, in Ashkelon, of all places, and there were gozer on the entire Eretz Yisrael. So, Iboilu, but what is the shear? I mean, obviously, when they said Mole Pitanur, that was meant to be the amount that we should view as dangerous. How much is a Mole Pitanur? Because, I mean, you could say a Mole Tanur means the amount of tefuah that it would take to fill up an entire oven. Remember, in their days, the ovens were vertical. So the oven, the mouth of the oven, the door of the oven was on top. So, because the way that they used to bake was by putting the bread around the edges, like the pita ovens, except that it was easier to come from the top. Okay, so you could learn, if you're talking about mole pita nur, that you filled up the entire oven from the bottom all the way to the top. Not that it was a baking oven, it's just a shear. So there's a shear of a large oven, and that's a lot of tefillah. Or it might mean just to have bread that's put around the edge of the oven, you know, so then that's not the same shear. So what does it mean? Kamole tanur tfu'ah, or do you mean kamole tanur pat? Well, I mean, obviously, if it says kamole pi tanur, well, what is that supposed to be? Kamole pi tanur. If you're just talking about the full oven, you would say kamole tanur. If you're saying kamole pi tanur, it means something that can be at the mouth of the oven, but not in the middle of the oven, right? So, well, I mean, that can't be tfu'ah. That could only be pot, which you're sticking around the edges of the oven. So it's clearly a reference to the pot. So therefore, Tashma Kamali Pitanur. Yeah, but I still don't know what that means. It could mean that obviously it's convenient if you only need to bake a couple of pitot. You don't stick your hand all the way in to put it down at the bottom around the edges, you just put it around the tops, you pull it right out, right? So I don't know whether Kamali Pitanur means that you put it around the top, kikisui the tanura, and it's not all that much. Or did you start filling the oven, starting at the bottom, and you kept row upon row, you got all the way up to the top, and you've got six rows of pitot, you know, one on top of the other, all around the sides of the oven. That is no way to know. I can't determine that for the Mishnah. And they also had this tainus, and this, don't think that this is so crazy. It was actually a maisa where wolves, they say this was the mocker of a famous story, where wolves swallowed up two little children. It was actually grandma. And they excreted the bodies whole. To know whether there's a din of tumas meis on these bodies. But tiaruat abasar, they said that the basar on the body was not considered to be human flesh any longer, having gone through the digestive system of the wolf. But they said that the skeletal remains are tumas. So v'timu et atzamot. And it was just this awful story last year, like this horrible story of these pythons.
The pythons
in Australia. It's an awful story.
Swallowed.
These kids were sleeping in a friend's house, and the friend, apparently the father of this friend, had a pet shop of snakes downstairs, and the snakes got into the air conditioning vent, came through, and dropped down on the kids in the crib. Can you imagine?
On the crib, wait.
Yeah, none of the kids' beds. Not a crib. How's that good story? This is awful. Killed two of the kids. An awful story. Anyway, so the boy wants to bring a mice. You should know that. Okay, sounds crazy in the Mishnah, but, you know, Chayarah, exactly. I know my grandfather Zatzal used to say, you know, we say in the Tefillat HaDerech, Chayarah. Yeah, well, but these policemen are pretty Chayarahs. Al Elu Matri'in B'Shabbat. Kana Rabban. So the Braita spells this out. Ear, shikifua nochrim, or nahar, or a svina, mitzarefet b'yam, and it's going to sink, or even a single individual who is being near dafifle nochrim, or the one a mugim, the steam, or is being chased by a ruach ra'ah, that is, who knows what this evil spirit will do to him. Al kulam, even a yochid, is reshai l'sagif, that's what b'ta'anit, an individual can make his own ta'anit to save himself. Rabbi Yossi says, "Eina yachid rishayis sagif that's what the tanit." An individual is never allowed to start going overboard. The sagif that's what means, you know, you have one tainus after another, and until there's a hatzala, you're never allowed to do that. Shema yitztarech lebriot, ve'ena briot marachamot alav. Look, people do not have much patience for people who make problems for themselves. You want to go make problems for yourself, make yourself sick, and then you're not able to do your work, and now you say, oh, I lost my job because I come in looking horrible, and I'm, you know, what can I do? I have to have a tinnitus every day. Yeah, so drop dead. What are we going to worry about you for? You're never allowed to do something like that. If you don't marab, my time to Rabbi Yossi, why is Rabbi Yossi say that? Because it says, Vayihi ha'adam l'nefesh chayah. That's a mitzvah. See to it that you are a nefesh chayah. The neshama shenatati b'cha, don't just survive. Hachayeha, you're supposed to be lively, full of vitality. And therefore, in doing things like that, you destroy your vitality. And therefore, an individual should never destroy his vitality. So, okay, Zibor is making a gezerah and so on and so forth. That's one thing. But for a person to be misagif at that time is awesome. Shumane, this is, by the way, the Basil Sharon brings this in where he's talking about judgment. You know, how you got to use your judgment about what things do. He's talking about precious. Yeah? And he says, basically, the rule is anything that a person needs to take from the world, it's also not to take. And there's obviously no way to give rules about that because there's no general rules. Even for a single individual, there's no general rules because the way you feel one day is not the way you feel another day. And about one thing is different than another thing. And therefore, it's very, very important to keep your head about you and to use proper judgment about, you know, what is considered to be the amount that you need to take, whether it's in terms of eating or taking time off or whatever it is. So we find all the time in the Gemara, you know, we just had now the story of Rabbi Elazar walking along, you know, the seashore to be happy and the Sameach HaTatzmo. Why can't you be sitting in the base of Edrash? Whatever it is that is necessary to take, that's what you need to take. Shimon HaTimni Omer or Shimon HaTimani, by the way, is a fascinating question, whether it's Shimon HaTimni, which of course is Barnea's neighborhood, or Shimon HaTimani, which is not quite yet Barnea, maybe it is. Did you make it to Taimania?
I had a whole semester.
Yes, but did you go?
Not yet.
All right,
not
so admit it. So therefore, it is not Barnea's neighborhood, and we will not accept his, therefore, input in this particular situation. Is it Shimon HaTimni or Shimon HaTimani? That's the question. And one of the most incredible things is that the Rambam has a list of 37 Mandi Omrim that appear only once in a Mishnah Rambam. And he lists Shimon HaTimani. And as everybody points out, oy vavoy, that the Rambam should forget that there are three Mishnayos. Terrible, terrible. You see, even the greatest people can forget a Mishnah. But the truth is, of course, that there are two people. One is Shimon HaTimni and one is Shimon HaTimani. And, in fact, they bring riots based on the Tkufa in which it's brought in each one, that Shimon HaTimani is indeed only mentioned once. And the other two are Shimon HaTimni's. And the Rambam is saying, yes, Shimon HaTimani is one of the 37 that's mentioned only one time. Iboilo, lo hodulo chachamim. It says they were not made that a person should be the mesage for matria on dever. So does that mean that they did not accept that you should be matria on dever on Shabbat, or that meant they hold you should never be matria on dever? So is it lo hodulo chachamim b'Shabbat avo b'chol hodulo? I mean, you would think that a plague would be the thing to be matria on, right?
Animal plague?
No. Plague, pathogens. Yeah. Oh, do a little cloud. Maybe it means that you're not supposed to be matriya on dever. Which, why would that be? Toshma, the tanya matrina ledever b'shabbat ve'in tzorich lomar b'chol. Okay, so that's the Tana Kama here, the Shimon HaTimni. Reb Chanan ben Pita, who was the Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, quotes Rabbi Akiva as saying ein matrina ledever kol ik. Even during the week, you never are matriya on dever. Now that is really weird. Rashi says, well, it's a gezeira. Okay, so what? As everybody asks on Rashi, I mean, you're not supposed to be given up on rachamim, even cherev chadam unachat atzavarosa. If it's a gezeira, therefore what? I thought it had seen where you could be mevata le gezeira, and you could certainly be mekel le gezeira, I mean, whatever sheet you hold. There is a wonderful pshat by Rav Avadia Yosef Zatzal. And he says, he brings this because of there's an Isser, which is actually brought, Halacha, to fast. This is the famous story of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and Yom Kippur. There's an Isser to fast if there's a epidemic going on, because then you weaken your immune system. So there's a famous story where Rabbi Yisrael Salanter stood up at the Bima on Yom Kippur, and there had been an epidemic in town, and he ate on Yom Kippur to show everybody that it's also the fast on this Yom Kippur. So Rabbi Avadia Yosef brings the Gabi this Gemara, says that's the Pshat in the Gemara. In Matri'in, because even psychological pain, if you're not fasting, to put people into a mood of, oh, things are bad, and, you know, who knows, and it's our Avenes, and you're going to destroy their ability to stand up, to withstand in terms of their immunity. The plague, and therefore never, says Rabbi Akiva, never start dealing with things like that when you need to have all your wits and keichas about you. So if that's the story, then it follows directly from the Asur L'Sagif Tatzmo, and it makes a heck of a lot of sense. The whole Seder of the Gemara. Beautiful, beautiful pshat. Al kol tzara shelo tavo la'tzibur, Tana Rabbana. Al kol tzara shelo tavo la'tzibur matrina le'a chutz mirov geshamim. If there's a lot of rain, you don't give a tefillah. My taima. Now, this does not refer to too much rain, meaning that it's dangerous or that it's going to destroy things. It means it's very uncomfortable. It's already 30 days of rain. Oh my God, rain, go away, come again another day. It's that type of thing. You're not matria for the comfort of the discomfort of having rain. That you're not matria. No, Richie, no. No. The more rain out there, the more the swimming pool will get filled. Lefisha ein mitpalalim al rova tova. So Amar Rav Yochanan, minayin she'ein mitpalalim al rova tova. So we have this beautiful pasuk. Havil et kol ha'asar al beit ha'otzar, yeterv beiti, etc. and so forth. Im lo eftach lechem et arubot ha'shamayim, v'harikoti lechem bracha ad belidai. Famous. Ad belidai, ad belidai, ad belidai. Because ad belidai means you can't say stop. That's the pshat. Okay, so if that's the case, you're not supposed to say die. Of course, die, yeah, read backwards, is yud. So it comes along Rami Bar of Yud, and he explains that means, die. You see, that if your lips wear out from saying die, then it becomes inverted into me. Omar Rami Bar of Yud. Ubagolah. Of course, your lips can't really get worn out from saying die because you don't move your lips when you say die. So, Omar Rami Bar of Yud. Ubagolah, in Bavel, you are mitpalel on a lot of rain because the land there is such that you can get these sinkholes when it rains a lot and it's very, very dangerous. So there you can't say it's just discomfort. There it's an actual sakona. So begolah matri, you know that Atanya Amiachi, Shana, Shikishamea Merubin, Anche Mishmar, Shochin, Anche Ma'amad. So they send for the ones who are doing the tefillah, the Ma'amad, listen, Tnuin Echem Bachechem, begolah, Shiloye Bateen Kivrehem. Be careful when you're tefillahs, you know. You don't want to overdo the rain business, because if that happens to your brothers that are living in Bavel, they can end up being killed by it. Shalut Rabbi Eliezer at Echon Gishamim Yordim Vit Palalusha Lo Yerdu. What would be the amount that it would be shayach to say that we should have a special tefillah that the rain should stop? Umarlan Kadeshi Amod Adam Bekeren Ofel V'yishachshech Raglav Bamayim. He's got to be so high that he's in Keren Ofel and the water is already touching his toesies. Toesies? Doesn't it say in the Braita Yodav Viraglov, right? No, Yodav, I mean in the water? Yeah, it means Raglov ki Yodav, meaning that if you would bend over, you'd be in the water shop. So that it means that it's so much that he's easily gets his feet in the water the same way he would if he bent over to reach the water.
What's Keren Ofel?
Ah, now that is something that we need to ask your Abba. Keren Ofel's in Barnea's neighborhood. When you need him, he's never there. It's always his neighborhood when you don't need the neighborhood. Come on, Rabbanah, yeah? You're supposed to be a tour guide. Make something up.
By the Israelite house where they would put up anything that was lost and this and that.
That's the Evan Atoni. That's not
right.
That's not Karen Ovid.
Nah.
Oh, well. Oh, my Rabbi Barbachana. Well, I actually did see Karen Ovid, not like Barnea. So I'm a rabbi, Barbachana, the Didichazeli Keren Ofel. And you know what? I was looking down from Keren Ofel on the road, and there was a Hutaya who was driving by on a camel. And he was holding this massive roma in his hand. So you can imagine, this is like a pretty easy-to-see thing from anywhere, right? No. And to me, he looked like a little worm. That's how high I was. I could barely make him out. So it's Mischazeli Kiyaniva. Toner Rabbanu V'natati Gishvechem Bi'itam. Bi'itam, so means, first of all, correctly, Lo Shikora, V'lo Tzimei'ah, not like a drunkard, that there'd be too much rain on the ground. V'lo Tzimei'ah, not leaving the ground thirsty, Ela Benonit. Shekol Zman Shagishamim Merubim. If there's too much rain, B'tash Tashinet Ha'aretz, they make the land too damp. And it's not fertile. Bita means actually the time, not the correct amounts, meaning bita, the way people translate in proper measure. It's not a proper measure, it's a proper time. And that would be, what is the proper time? It would be Tuesday nights and Friday nights. Lele Reviyot and Lele Shabbatot. And why Dafka Tuesday night? Because Tuesday nights, as I'm sure you've noticed, is the time in which nobody goes outside. That's when all the Shadim are around. And there's something very special about that period. So since people generally won't go out at night, then that's not a bad time for it to rain. Yimei Shimon ben Shetah. Yardulem Gishamim Matsinu, sorry, she came Matsinu, but Meshim Bencheta, She Yardulem Gishamim, Belele Reviot, Belele Shabbatot. Things were just grand in his days. It used to rain on Tuesday night and on Friday night, and it would rain every Tuesday night and Friday night. Achinasu Chitin Kichlayot, the corn was as high as an elephant's eye, and the chitim were as large as the klayot of a paragado. This all ring work garine zeitim, the adashim work in resahal. They went and gathered them, and sorrow me and dugmot, the dorot. They actually made, just like we find in the midbar, Kadosh Baruch Hu's Bitzavas, take a mishmeret of the man, people should see what it was like. They may took bottles of this stuff for future generations, but they should know what is possible. And when things are the way they are today, Lodia Kama Hachet Korin, you see what happens to the earth when you are not acting correctly. Shlema Avonotechem Itu Ela. It's your Avonot that have destroyed all these beautiful things. Chatotechem Manu Hatov Mikem. You could have had all of that. V'chein Matzinu Bimei Hurdus. During the period of Hurdus, when everybody was busy rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash and putting up what would be the Kotel HaMa'arovi, little did they think that that would be the part that people would like, you know. I didn't do that big of a job on that. But anyway, every night it would rain. Early in the morning, the wind would start to blow. The clouds would disappear. The sun would come out, and everyone would walk out to a beautiful, clean, fresh day. They would go out to continue their work on the Beit HaMikdash and know that God's work was in their hands. Yes, for Barnea.
And the last piece that we did, B'chein Matzinu Bein Hurdus, Rashi says, Sasser Binyan de Ezra. And people ask, they look for remains of the Beis HaMikdash and the Yerushalayim. It's clear now, especially from the last 10 years of digging, that he tore out the foundations and completely did things and down to the rock. And therefore, you don't see various things from beforehand. And I've always quoted this Rashi, it's today's plot. Wonderful. And secondly, there's... But the generally assumed shot is that when Paro Necho is going al Ashur, is that it's against Ashur. It's clear from the Babylonian Chronicles that Mitzrayim was fulfilling its brit with Ashur and was going to support Ashur in its last gas battle against Bavel in the area of Haran, which is. And yes, and it's therefore, says Professor Oded Lipschitz, Al Ashur has to be to support and not against. It's really not the common shot. You know, most people translate it at all. And Mitzrayim actually moves into the vacuum of Ashur and controls Eretz Yisrael in this time before Bavel comes. So it's Kaveya. The next Melech, for example, and again, according to the Babylonian Chronicle, the people choose Yoachas to be, if I recall correctly, to be the Melech, but he's only there for 3 months. This is the 3 months. While Paro Necho was up fighting, 3 months later he comes back and deposes him and takes him on the way down and installs his own Melech. And it's fascinating that when Bavel comes, they don't say, oh, you're an Egyptian king, appointed king, we're going to get rid of you. No, no, we'll keep you in place. But now you'll be loyal to Bavel. And then you can understand the waffling. We're already off the blot. But the waffling of, am I going to go with Mitzrayim? Am I going to go with Bavel? Are they actually going to go back? And Yirmiyahu is saying, Bavel's coming, so you have to listen. It's a fascinating piece. And just one more note is that in the tour guide course, when they took us to Megiddo, Avner Gurin, who dug with Yigal Yadin in Megiddo, said, I'm sorry, I had never understood why Megiddo. There you see, oh, it's the entrance of the valley, it's the major highway, all the battles go. It was evident that every normal Israeli who takes the highway and every knows the country understands why Megiddo was a point. I didn't. I grew up in America. I had no idea. So I was fascinated that, oh, now I understand why the battles took place in Megiddo. Then he said, but we have no idea why Yoshiyahu attacked. It makes no sense. So I pulled them aside. I get to tell you what 5-year-old Jewish children know, that Lo Tavar Cherev Ba'artzachem. So this pshat, today's Gemara, is not known in the archaeological world. But you try people in many Beis Medrash, where's Megiddo? Why Megiddo? They can't explain it. Here it's a Dabar Pashat. You put it together.
Chol Shadayti Derava Mishim Nabayim Omer Leim Nu Nistayach Adakam Aganita Kula Karach Rebroke Chuzah Vishkich Bishuk Adavei Lefet. What a shame. Oh, there he goes. Hi, Bar Almadati. Right, Batri. Zila, you don't got no time. Tell him Machar. Machar Omarli, Mayuda, Omarli. I'm as a Zanduknana. Yasrana, Gabriel, who the national could verminu porayu, been any lani kehlo, loati di de Isura. Kichazino bat Yisrael de Yavi Nochri Malayinayu, Basrana Nafshoe, Umatzion Alam. Yumachara Vinara Mura Sagaban, the Yavi Banochrim and I know I'd never be able to keep him off of her. Shakled with Ayah, the Khan of Shadayla Vishifulak, Varne Distanayim. Amale, my time and let lecha chuti v'ramita besani uchmi. Amale, well, I yalda v'nafik to beninochim kecher l'leitu di Yehuda. And the avigaz gzeratim, but the anulul rabbanu l'vorachmi umevat l'gzeratayu. ומאי תאים כי אמין לך אנה מאי עובדך אמרת להיזיה להילה ותה למחר אמר לא באי שייתה גזר גזרת ואמין ברישה איזה ושמענו לרבנן לרבו הרח מיהו למילת הדבר הכי אחי נראות אנה שרי אחי אמר לא אנה חני בני עמד עתי מינו אז לגבי אמר לו מאי עובדך אמר לא איניש בדוחי ענה מבטחין אני אציבה And then because he's in a betrayed, he's a tigre, gadayu, tarchina vavdina lu shalma. Aleilu matriin bachom, bachom tonu rabban aleilu matriin bachom, bachom lach, shidafon yirakon arbe chasil, val chayar arbe, vikiv omer al shidafon arrekon, even bachol shud, arbe vachasil, afilu lo nir beret zro, kdaf achad, matriin ala, val chayar ra'a, tonu rabban, chayar ra'a shamru, tzadafk bezban shi mishulachad, then matriin ala, but ain't a mishulachad, אין מטרין עלה, איזוי משולחת ואיזוי שאינו משולחת, נראית בעיר משולחת, בשדה אינה משולחת, ביום משולחת, בלילה אינה משולחת, ראת שני בני אדם, ורצת אחריהם משולחת, נכבית מפניהם אינה משולחת, טרפה שני בני אדם, ואכלה אחד מהם משולחת, אכלה שניהם, she's hungry, אינה משולחת, עלתה לגג ונת לתינוק מהריסה, משולחת, הגוף הקש, Amit nirata biir mishulachat, which is mashma lo shami al shulayla. Or amit biyom mishulachat biir mishulachat lo kasha. Ochi kama nirata biir biyom mishulachat biir balayla ena mishulachat. Yami besadeh afil biyom ena mishulachat. Rat ashni biyadam rat stachre mishulachat. Mashma omedet ena mishulachat. Then you turn around and say, only if it's lichbet mipneim ena mishulachat. But if it's omedet, it is mishulachat. I don't get it. Lokasha, kam besedeh sebucha lagam, kam besedeh she'ina sebucha lagam. Torf ha'shnei b'nei adam ki achad v'achla echad mihem, mishulachat. Shnehem eino mishulachat. Ve'amet afilu ratz, tamar of papa ki tani agi ve'agma gufa. Alta lagag v'natla tinok mi'aris mishulachat pshita, amar of papa b'kubi ditzayadi. על החרב, תנא רבנו חרב שאמר נצרך, לא מחרב שאינו של שלום, אלא אפילו חרב של שלום, שאין לך חרב של שלום, יותר מפרעון אחד, ואף על פי כן נכשל בה המלך יאשיהו, שנאמר, וישלח אליו מלאכים, לאמור, מה לי מלך מלך יהודה, לא עליך אתה היום, כי על בית מלחמתי, אלוהים אמר לבעל עליני, חדל לך מאלוהים אשר עמי, ואר ישחיתך, מה אלוהים אשר עמי? אמר אביר אמרם, זו עבוד הזור. הו, זה יאשיהו פיגר, אמר, הו, וקבטח בעבוד הזור, פשו יחיל נולה. ויורו אחית היורים למלך יאשיהו, והיום המלך אמר, אבירוני, אבירוני, כי החליתי מאוד, מספשת החליתי מאוד, אמר אביר אמרם, מלמד, I'm full of holes, חוב, שעשו כל גופו כחבורה. אמר רב שבו בר נחמיני, אמר רבי אורחנן, מבני מה נענה שישיהו? מבני שהיה לו למלך בירמיהו ולא נמלך. מי דורש? וחרב לא תעבור בארצכם. So he figures like this, מי חרב? אילה עם החרב שאינה של שלום. It already says, ונתתי שלום בארץ. So where would there be a חרב? אלא אפילו חרב של שלום. His problem was that הוא אינו יודע שאין דורו דום יפה. So, כי אבידי חנף שיחוזי ירמיוס פרסי דקומרח השם, אומר שם החס וחלילה מילתת לו מהגונו, אמר, אגב צערי, גוחן ושם דקמצתק עלי דינה נפשי. אומר, צדיקו השם כי פיו מריתי. And it was at that moment that ירמיוס said the פוסק, הישת רוח הפינו משיח השם, and he was נרטות בשחיתות המסה וירדו זקנים, even for מולי פיתנו באשקלון יבואלו, כמולי תנור תפועה או כמולי תנור פת. תשמע, כמולי פי תנור. Okay, but still I don't know whether it means ככיסוי את התנורה or it means כדר דריף תדר עלי לפה ואת התנורה. תקו. ועוד גזרו, תענית על שאכלו זאבים. אומר, אולו משום רבי שמעון בר יוצא מעשר בולו זאבים שני תינוקות והקיום דרך בית הרי ובא מעשה לפני חכמים, תיארו את הבשר ותימו את העצמות. על אלו מטריעים בשבת, תנו רבנו. Ihr schicke vor noch rüber nach Herrgott für mit der für Bion gehört ja schon nur darf denn noch rüber nei list mit dem Rohr au kurm yochid rishail so give that small betani wir sie mehr ein yochid rishail so give that small betani schami circle briot wegen briot mal haben wir dabei und wir dann rab my time there be oc der die war hier adam und nefesh khaya ne shama shnatati lecha ha khayeu shimanati mini omer afa whatever you boy Lo du lo chachamim, meaning vis-a-vis Shabbat hatra'a, but b'chol hodulo, or maybe for some reason lo du lo klal, even b'chol, tashma. The Tanya Madrina, lever b'Shabbat, lein tzarch lama b'chol, Reb Chanan bar Pita, was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, quotes Rabbi Akiva as saying, ein Madrina, lever kolikar, even b'chol. Al kotz rasha lo tavo ala tzibur tano rabbanon al kotz rasha lo tavo ala tzibur matrin ala chutz mirov gishamim. My time on Rabbi Yochanan Shvi, shein mitpalolim al rov atova. Vom Rabbi Yochanan Minayin, shein mitpalolim al rov atova, shem reviu et kol maaser beit haotzar, im lo arikoti lachem bracha ad belidai. My ad belidai, om Rami bar Yud, ad sheivlu siftotech milomar dai. Anu Rami bar Yud, u begolam matrin ala tanya miyochi, shana she gishamim mulubin ad she mishmur, shochim לאנשי מעמד, תנו עיניכם באחיכם שבגולה, שלא יהיו בתיהם קבריהם. שאלו את רבי אליעזר איך הם גשמים יורדים מפעל שלא ירדו. אמר להם כדי שיעמוד אדם בקרנו אופל וישכח רגליו במים ותן ידיו. I mean, רגליו כי ידיו קמינה. אמר רבי ברוך הוא לדידי חזי לקרן אופל I could tell you the כמה הוא תאי הקירות גם עבודה כדרוב חביודי and up there he was מן חזי כי יניבה אומר, תן רבנו, נתתי גשבחם מאיתם, לא שיקורה ולא צמאה לבינונית, שכל זמן שהגשמים מרובין, בתשתשין את הארץ ואין המוציאה פירות, דבר אחר, בעיתה means the correct time, בלילי רביעיות ובלילי שבתות. ושכן מצינו, מבישוב המשטח, שעודו להם גשמים בלילי רביעיות ובלילי שבתות, עד שנעשו חיטים כחלויות, זוהרים כגרייני זיתים, ועדשים כדברי זהב. וצרו מהם דוגמה לדורות להודיע כמה החטא גורם שנאמר עוונותיכם איתו ועוונותיכם מנוע טוב מכם לכם הצילמי הורדס שהיו עוסקים בבניין בית המקדש היו יורדים גשמים בלילה למוחר נשבה רוח נתפזרו אבים וזרחה החמה יצאו העם למחתן וידעו שמלאכת שמיים ידיהם Today's daf is daf Chof Beis, and we're holding on the first, on a line, yeah, the first big line. So we discussed how upset Abaya was with himself, at the way that he didn't get regards the way Abu Umna did. But imagine what Rava felt when he found out that Abaya gets his regards Misifta Rakia every week, and he only gets it from Yom Kippur, Erev Yom Kippur. Hadikochal Shadaiti, the Rava Mishum Da Abaya. So Rava was feeling really sick. Yischazile Bechalma was told in a dream that Mistayacha Deka Maganita Kula Karacha. You have enough, and this, you were using up your schliota for this purpose, is that you're taking care of the whole city. The force field around the city is basically feeding off of your energy. If we start taking that for having weekly communications for Masifta Derekia, we're going to be in big trouble down here. So, this is enough. Rabbi Broga Choza, Avishkiach Beshuka de Belefet. Now, Rabbi Broga Choza used to oftentimes be found in the marketplace of Lefet, and that's where he did his business. And Avishkiach Elioga Bey, and often Eliyo Anavi would be walking with him, and they would be talking and learning together. And so Amalei, one day he asked Eliyo Anavi, Ika b'hai shuka bar alma da'ati, could you point out in this marketplace anywhere a ben oilam haba, they look like a bunch of losers, me. So Amalei, look, sorry, but there aren't really any. And ahachi, all of a sudden, a new guy came onto the stage, and Chozalahu Gavra, so he sees this particular guy who is dressed a little funny. It's a Ata Ugava, particular funny dressed guy comes up. First of all, he was wearing black shoes. I mean, what kind of idiot wears black shoes? He must be wearing tennis shoes and Nikes. I mean, something decorative. Black shoes. And so that's something that no reasonable Jew would wear, black shoes. And he didn't have tzitzis in his robe.
Not just tennis.
Huh? Tell us the way we refer to it. Omar Le, so Leo says, oh, here comes a guy. Hi, Bar Amadati. There's a Ben Aylan Haba. So, of course, he was a little bit shocked by this. It wasn't what he was expecting. So Korale Veloat Legabe, the correct reason. He called the guy, motioned for him to come over because he wanted to find out what. And the guy didn't come to him. So Rahat Patres, he started chasing the guys. He wanted to find out. Omale Mayul Dicha, can you just tell me what you do? Omale, no time right now. Zila Yidna Vatala Machar. Leave me now. Come tomorrow. I'll discuss it with you tomorrow. The next day he finds him again in the shuk. He asks him, what exactly do you do with your life? He says, well, I'm a zandukna. A zandukna is a watchman in a jail. He's a jailer. I'm a jailer. I work for the government. And I make certain that there's no hanky-panky in the jail. I make sure that the men are separated from the women. And as a matter of fact, Ramina Purai bin Hani Lahani, I actually set up my own bedroom between the two sections of the jail, so that they shouldn't come to Israel with each other. And when I see a Jewish girl where the, this refers not to the prisoners, but where the people on top of me, that there'd be no way I'd be able to stop them, I see they put their eyes on her and they were going to take advantage of her. I do whatever is necessary to save her. One day there was a Nara Murasa that he's going grabbed, probably for the rights of the governor. And the Abba Bein Ochrim Hinai, Shakli Durdaya the Chamra, I went ahead and I took the leaves of some red wine, Shadoyle Bishifula, and I spread it over the bottom of her skirt. The Amre Distanahi, and I spread around that she's like a real bleeder, and that turned them off, so nobody wanted. Oh, Marley, my time Aleslecha Chute, why is it that you don't have tzitzis? You seem like a pretty religious guy, and why is it that you're the Sayamta Nasani Uchbe? Why are you wearing these weird shoes? So he said, look, my whole life basically is living between non-Jews. And I don't want anybody to figure out I'm a Jew. That way I know everything that's going on. I think I'm part of them. So immediately give the news over to the Chachamim. They're Gezer, they make tainis, they swallow, and they're Mevatel the Gezer. So it's mamish like people during the time of the Nazis. Very special people who were able to pass as Germans. And
even though Arkasa de Masana, says Arkasa de Masana, you have to give up your life. Arkasa here is that he's wearing them.
But you're saying even something so homer.
Even though we more elsewhere says Arkasa de Masana.
Yeah, but that's
he's wearing your shoes in order to say the just.
That's after B'shachi Zero. No. So my timer. Why is it that Kiamina Lecha Ana, my Uvda. First time I met you, I said, so what do? The Ambarat at least, Zila Yidna. You said, I got no time to talk to you. Go away. Tell him, I'll come back tomorrow. I mean, what was going on? I'm like, no, it was right then, by Ishaita Gazri Gizrat. I had just come from getting the news of this Gizera that was planned against the Jews. The Amina, and I felt that my first duty, Bereshe is of Ishmael the Rabbana. First thing I have to do is to tell the Rabbana to Libel Rachmiel at the Milt, I don't have time to talk to you. The Gizera was for another 6 months from now. That's the Pshat Masri and Miyad. The Mishnah says Miyad. I'm supposed to talk to you before doing what needs to be done. The reaction is immediate reaction. There's no such thing as put it off. Somehow it'll work itself out. And, okay, so meanwhile he's talking to him. While he's talking to them, so another two people show up. These people are related to each other. They should say brothers. These guys are also B'nai Olam Haba. So he goes to them also. Amazing lesson. We hear from the Arnovi. How are you supposed to act? You know, man. So also the Gabayu, he goes to them. He says to them, Mayuv Daichu. So, you know, what exactly do you do? So they said, oh, we're clowns. We are clowns. And we make sad people happy. And Inami, or sometimes Kichazina betrayed Yisrael Tigra by Daichu. We see people fighting with each other. The solution to a fight is not discussion. It's humor. You get both sides to laugh, and they get to see how ridiculous it is. So Tarchina Vavdina L'Shalma, so we work on it. We get them both to laugh about the absurdity of their position, the other guy's position, and how it looks from outside. And the whole thing, Vavdina L'Shalma, the whole thing falls apart. Basically, it's all a joke.
Is that the black shoes? That's what the Goyim would wear?
Yeah.
So we had a more earlier with the rabbi. Rav said on the side that you don't have to have the haircut, but you did change his clothes on the Senate. Rav said that was on the side that you don't have to wear clothing, but there is the Senate has arrived the other side.
No, it's just strange. I mean, why, like, what's the point? It was not the standard lavush that a Jew would wear. So, like, why are you going out of your way to look for it? Not like a Jew. Al elu matrin b'chol makom. Don't rub on it. Al elu matrin b'chol makom. He said, ala shidafon, ala yerakon. It's interesting. Here Rashi, it makes it very clear that his yerakon, he seems to be seeing in terms of the tua. And the Mishnah, he said it was a choli. There are some of the Rishonim who said the feirush, the choli of humans, which is a little bit weird because the Mishnah continues on with elements of tua. I mean, they're going back and forth, which is difficult to believe. He might have meant maybe that one of them is a weather thing and one of them is an illness of the tua. Because, I mean, there are some Rishonim who say that. It's an illness that affects both tua. And the word is used as a commonality, turning yellow with tua and turning yellow with a human being turning yellow with liver problems. But in any event, here Rashi relates it to the whole sugya of how much tua is involved. So Rabbi Akiva, not necessarily. See, it depends what the shear is. Over there, it's koshahu. Doesn't matter how much is affected. By arba v'chasil, it depends on the only, not on the tua at all. It depends on the actual insect. I feel a little nearer there. It's raw. Ela knaf echad matrin aleim. Of course, those of you who daven in Or HaChaim will remember the little poster that was up there. A locust has been seen in Eretz Yisrael. It's time to call out the troops. And when it goes there, a tinus. It's a very beautiful sign. It's Nogea. Mamish today's Gemara. It's up on the wall. It's beautiful. V'al chaya. Tanar ban chaya ra'ash amru b'zman shehi mishulacha. When we say sing a chaya ram, it means where it's clear that it's an actual heavenly gezerah to send out animals in a way that you're unexpected. But I mean, certainly, then must be an Allah, but certainly ain't a mishulacha. An animal is where it's supposed to be, and you don't like the animal, then that's your problem. That's not that you got a problem in Hashamayim, that you're encroaching maybe on the wrong environment that you'd be building elsewhere. But so that's not called something to make a tiny sign. But ain't a mishulachat, ain't matrinola. Ezo, he mishulachat, vezo, ain't a mishulachat. So how do we define that? Well, I mean, if an animal appears in the middle of a city, near eight be'ir, that's mishulachat. An animal that's basadeh, ain't a mishulachat. An animal that appears bayom, is mishulachat. Now, we're going to ask this, it seems contradictory, but we need to make the distinction beyond Belila before. So bayom is mishulachat, Belila ina mishulachat. If the animal sees two humans, v'ratztachrem, it chases them, so then it's a mishulachat. But if it's nechbet mipneim, but if it hides itself, ina mishulachat. Again, that's obviously contradictory, because the middle position is now left with antithetical meanings according to the Reish and the Sefer. How about if it just stands there? Right? First you say, only if it chases them. Then you say, but the other thing is not if it doesn't chase them, the other thing is it hides. And that's a contradiction. You can't contrast two opposites, because your default position then becomes a contradiction. So the default's contradiction, you're going to go more or less. And what about if it has tarfash ne b'nei adam? How about if it attacks two people? And it only eats one of them. Okay, so then, I mean, what's it doing attacking when it's not hungry enough? I mean, certainly an animal doesn't have eyes bigger than its stomach. Only humans do that, you know? So then it's mishulachat. Of course, this is also a contradiction. Before you said if it chases them, I'd say it eats them, but it only eats it. And if it would eat two, then it's okay, because it was hungry. Something is very strange with this, right? But okay, the Gemara will go through it. Achlash nehem, if it eats both of them, so then ain't a mishulachat. That's normal. Altalagag climbs upstairs to the roof, v'natlat tinok mi'arisa, takes baby out of its crib. So then that's called mishulachat. Let's take this from the top, because none of it makes very much sense. First you say, nirata be'ir mishulachat. You say that if it was seen in the daytime, in the city, it doesn't matter when, daytime, evening. Loshna bayom, loshna balayla, I mean, that's not an element, right? It's always mishulachat, because it doesn't belong in an ear. Then you turn around and you say, if it was nira biyom, it's mishulachat. If it's nira balayla, ain't a mishulachat. So what does that mean exactly? Lokash achikama. The way to understand it is, the nirata ba'ir is referring to what we afterwards describe as biyom. In other words, nirata ba'ir, meaning, what we thought was another case, meaning that it was nirata biyom, because that's the normal meaning of nirata. I mean, nirata, I mean, it says something appears. In the nighttime, then even if it's ba'ir, it's not considered to be mishulachat. When it says nirata ba'nafkamina bayom ba'layla over here, that it's nirata ba'layla. So, okay, nirata ba'ir b'yom it's mishalacha. Be'ir b'layla ain't a mishalacha. Or the other meaning is inami b'sadeh, and that's where we don't make the distinction. That's why we, in other words, if you make a distinction be'ir or b'sadeh initially, then you have to work out that distinction in terms of the second layer of distinction, which is b'yom or b'layla. If you're telling me that I'm taking for granted be'ir, that be'ir dafka means b'yom, it's not mishalacha, then obviously the meaning of b'sadeh einam mishalacha has to mean afilu b'yom. So that the second layer of definitions, depending on the day or night, was referring to the ear, and the contrast of the ear and the sada was to tell me that by sada doesn't depend if it's the day or night. It's always not considered to be mishulach. That's normal. Okay, let's take the next piece. Rata shnei b'nei adam ratztach rem. You said, if it chases after two people, then it's mishulach. Okay, what's the implication? Your default is it doesn't chase them. In other words, it just stands in its place. So omedet. Ha-omedet. Implications are that if it were only standing and wasn't chasing anybody, then it's not mishulach. But then you turn right around and you say, if it runs away and hides, so then it's considered to be in a mishulacha. Okay, so what's the default now by implication? That if it was just standing there, that it was considered to be mishulacha. I explain that. Lokasha. Obviously, whenever we do this, we mean to indicate that there's another hidden factor that has to be applied according to your brains. Okay? So what is it talking about? Clearly the difference is in how close it is to the animal's natural habitat. So in other words, kan besadeh smuchala agam. Okay, if the animal is close to an agam, which is where it would normally live, you know, it hangs around the beginnings of the forest, or the wetland, I mean, what kind of creature it is. So over there, it's not going to run away when you're coming close to its habitat, because it knows that it's easy for it to get away and go back to its den in a second. You're not going to be able to come after it to the agam. Okay, so over there, you don't expect it to necessarily run away if it's scared. It's just not going to go chase you. Ashenken, if you're a sada in the middle, far away, she'enes b'chal agam, and it isn't nervous, something is wrong. It should be nervous. So over there, even if it just stands, but it doesn't hide from you, then that means that it is mishulach. It's not acting characteristically at all. Okay? Then the next piece also didn't make any sense. You said, if it attacks two people and together, okay, and it only eats one of them, then it's mishulach. But if it eats both of them, well, what do you expect? It's hungry. I mean, you said a moment ago that even if it chases two people, here it's talking about eating two people. No? And it's only considered to be a mishulach if it only eats one. I mean, well, Farmer that feel rat stuff. Homer of Papa.
The guy standing around waiting for him to finish so he can.
Listen, Richie, you'll try it.
I'll try it.
That's
very instructive.
Yeah, absolutely. Homer of Papa.
Yeah, yeah.
In his training course for his next career as a ranger. That's right. So you got to know when the guy next to you was eaten. You know, there's nothing to worry about. It's already full. So Kitani Ahi Ba'agama. That's referring where it's actually in its own habitat. Over there, of course. What are you doing walking through the jungle? Question, Richard. Yeah. What are you doing walking
through? That ain't your habitat.
A place like this.
Your habitat is 42nd and Broadway, right?
So the difference would be that over there you expect it to attack, but not for no reason. An animal will attack you if there's a reason. So if it eats one guy and leaves the other guy, I mean, so it's obviously mishulachat even in its own habitat. That's what we're saying. In other words, everything depends on measuring. Have you tried this, Aaron? Everything depends on measuring the behavior against what you would assume its normal behavior would be. You want to go with Richard? I hear that lions don't eat corn. Goof. The last thing that you said also didn't make much sense is the altar legat. We've been talking about even being seen in the streets of the city, and you're talking about climbing up to the roof, taking a child out of its cradle, and walking off with the child. I mean, in Ireland, those kind of things happen, but they're not lions, they're fairies. I mean, cheetah, of course, this is considered being Alakas Kama Vakama. Umbra of Puppet doesn't mean over here that it was in the city, Adaraba. You were in its habitat, and you made yourself a little Kuvi, which is probably a big Kuvi, there's a change in the Tsayades. You got yourself a hunter's blind, okay? It is not a good idea to bring along an infant on a hunt. But anyway, these guys.
Especially leave them behind while you're
going. Well, it was on the roof. I mean, so over here, even though it's in its own habitat, you say that's a norm. I mean, why shouldn't it eat up a little helpless human? Because it won't usually go into something that a human being made, even though it is in there. But here, as if it did it, it means even that is considered to be a violation of norms. It's considered to be mishulach.
The famous case of that dingo that threw away a baby in Australia.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Although you know the opposite happened with the gorillas. Remember that tremendous story, beautiful story, and a kid that had climbed over the fence and fell down into the area between the gorillas and the fence.
Yeah, and somebody went down and defended
it. One of the gorillas climbed down, picked up the baby very carefully, cradled it, and brought it back to the fence and held it out to the mother to take back. It's like, you know, that's a primate, all right. Amazing. You can imagine the terror of the mother watching the gorilla going down after the kid, you know. Wow.
And in other words, he gave it to her in spite of the screeching.
Yeah. So much for assumptions. Ala cherev. Tanu Rabbanan, when we say cherev, we don't mean that you're under attack. I mean, that's obvious. We said before, but there we treat it even like Rosh Hashanah itself, Lagabi, the brachas and so on. But we're talking about afilu cherev shel shalom. We're talking about where there's a completely non-involved war that's going on between two neighbors that have nothing to do with you. They're asking for the rights to you cross your airspace. That's all. So, I mean, they're fighting. You're not involved in the fight. Even that, where they're crossing your airspace, is bad news. Look, Paro Necho had absolutely no interest in Eretz Yisrael. Passing through, part of a whole geopolitical complex, and Yoshio goes crazy, gets himself killed because of this story. And look what happens. This is basically what destroys Yoshio. Shinema, what happens over there? It says, Vayishlach elav malachim lemor. So Paro Necho sends messages to Yoshio. What's this calling out the army? We have nothing to do with each other. Ma leave Allah, Melech Yudah, please. Leave me alone. Lo lecha ta'a. Oh my God, I'm not coming against you. Yo beit milchamti. I've got a war that I'm very, very involved. And I, basically my advisors have told me that God is desirous. Elohim amarli. My God has told me. Amar levahalini. I've got to do this quickly. If I miss the element of surprise, now I can't get there fast enough, I'm going to lose the battle. So, chadal lecha me'elohim asherimi, v'yashtitecha. Don't start up with Egyptian gods. They're very dangerous. You may remember from the, well, maybe you don't remember. So Yoshio says to himself, what's this god jazz? My Elohim asherimi, what are we talking about? That obviously, Amar Avir Amar Abzu Avodah Zarah, right? I mean, what else could he be referring to? The god that's with me. I mean, he's certainly not referring to the god of the universe. He's referring to some tribal god or whatever it is. It's an Avodah Zarah. So he says to himself, Yoshio, aha, this guy is coming, Bekeach, is Bitochen in some Avodah Zarah. Obviously, I can keep him out. I certainly will be empowered over him. And what's the result? Exactly, famous last words, literally. It says, not actually literally, because we're going to hear his famous last words in a moment. But it says over there, Vayoru Hayorim, all of them aimed specifically at Yoshio because those were the orders. They felt that he was the only one that was interested in pursuing this because they had no interest in the Jews. Take me away from the battle. I don't want to destroy the morale over here. I'm very mortally wounded. Very. What's the ma'od? They shot him up so badly that he was like a sieve. Why actually did this happen? He had a Navi who was his Rebbe, and he should have had taken an Eitzah from him. Actually, it's a machlokes, because we've shown him whether the problem was. There's an interesting Chizkuni in Vayikra who says that he was Nenash, the meaning of this Gemara is not a din in Nevius, it was a din in Mora Halach Bifnei Rabo. He was his Rebbe, not because of his Nevius. But other Rishonim say that it looked as if he was Makhish Vinaviu, because an issue like this, you should be Midyayit. It's not clear. I mean, you're making a whole drush over here, as we'll see. First of all, why you should be empowered, and why it is that it's important to be empowered. Why do I have to make a war about such a thing? Why not make a treaty? I mean, so that's the type of thing that you should have discussed. My Dorash, on what did he base his decision to attempt to interfere with Paro Necho? He dash in a place because cherev lo ta'avor bi'artzechem. The drush is, when it says cherev lo ta'avor, what what type of cherub is it referring to? Elamar cherub she'ein nashal shalom. I don't need that. Because it says beferush at the bracha v'natati shalom ba'aretz. So what are you adding by saying the cherub lo tavor? What you're saying is that afilu cherub shel shalom lo tavor. In other words, it's not pleasant for me to be watching the jets flying overhead with bomb bays loaded, despite the fact that they're headed off to somewhere else. That's none of my business. So Mamela, the Torah is telling you, you could sit b'sheket, you keep a bris, you keep a sheket, b'shalvi, you don't have to worry about people violating your airspace, even if they're not fighting you. So what was he wrong about? He was wrong about the fact that he was semer on his chaos, because Paro Necho was boteach b'avodah zarah, but when he odeya, she'im doro dome yafeh, that l'maisa, the generation of people that he was leading, was not exactly what they pretended to be. They pretended to be fine people, but behind the scenes, there was plenty of avodah zarah that was going on among the Jews as well. It was not a taina that he's boteach b'avodah zarah shalom. Kabinecha nafshe, as he lay there dying, because of Yirmiyos, if so, they become merach Hashem. He saw Yoshio's lips moving. Or Mashemach Hashem, Milta Vol Maharno, Maragavare. Is it possible that he would be saying something, perhaps blaspheming? I mean, because he's in such pain and such a disappointment. Gochin v'shamek. So he bent down and he heard him saying, "Become matzik ali dina anafshe." But other rabbi was matzik Hakadosh Baruch Hu's din, and he was saying, "Tzadiku Hashem ki piyo maris," which, of course, Yirmiyo afterwards immortalized in the words of Eich. So, and that's when on those words, Yirmiyo himself said, "Ruach apenu Mashiach Hashem," referring to the Mashiach Hashem who was Yoshio. Ruach apenu is our very life. That's the way that they felt about the Melech. And then he ends Nilkat b'shchituta, that he was trapped in the hashchata of his generation, and that's why he was this way. Yes, sir.
When this King Hussein was in his yacht, and he saw the Israeli jets flying overhead underway bombing the Syriac react, and he couldn't do anything about it because he was on his yacht. He was destroying it and said, "Shalom," in the bathroom. The second is that I was on tour in Megiddo.
You don't think it might be that he
went on the yacht quickly?
You're right. I mean, I doubt that he was doing that about it. But anyway. Typical Arab fashion, you know, to do something like that. He might have been in cahoots.
One of the keynotes mentioned this.
The Kinon Yoshio. Kinon Yoshio by Konein Yirmiyo. Oh, Yoshio. This is part of this.
The tour guide, of course, is the one an archaeologist who had actually excavated Megiddo under Yigal Gedeon. He's more familiar with the hill than him. And he told the course, "We don't know why Yoshia would have. I had never understood why Megiddo. Now I understood. Here's the passage. Here's the plan. You're coming up from Egypt. You go to the Carmel. This holds the opening. Now it's very clear Megiddo." The people who know why Megiddo don't know Tainus Achabeis. The people who know Tainus Achabeis don't know Parnachot in the way. So I said, "I get to tell you, you've enlightened my eyes. I get to tell you what 5-year-old Jewish children know, because of Rashi and Omish. You know, this is why we put together the picture."
Beautiful. And what did they think?
He was very appreciative. Uh-huh. But that's part of what helped me form foundations of his mindset. Wow. Understand like how clear the world is. But to ask people why Megiddo, where, etc., and what was the battle the pirate went through, nobody knows. And they know that much of the Dover Pasha.
Wow.
But they have no idea of that.
Okay. Maasev Yardu Zekedim Yerushalayim Be'oreihem. I mean, here, Richie, the question is, could we have written a better ending? So the Zekedim went from Yerushalayim because it was just Molei Pi Tanur of a Tvua attack in Ashkelon. What does exactly, by the way, it's clear from here that the correct gears in the mission is not Molei Pi Tanur, but Molei Tanur, because of the, we'll see in the Gemara. We need to bring a raya from a bright, and many point this out in the Mishnah. So when the Mishnah says k'molei tanur, what does molei tanur mean? Molei tanur means enough grain to fill up a tanur. Remember that the tanur was used from the top in those days. You fill the entire tanur up with grain. Maybe that's what it means. Or does it mean k'molei tanur pat? Does it mean as much bread as you would put into a tanur? In other words, you need to have, imagine, enough grain to grind the grain, make the flour, and bake the bread, which would then be sufficient to fill up a tanur. Tashma. Well, in the bright it says kimalei pi tanur. Now, obviously, there is no way to fill up the mouth of a tanur with grain if you didn't fill up the whole tanur, because grain is little pieces. How do you fill up just the top of the tanur? It doesn't make any sense. If you're talking about dough. And of course, the way that they baked in those days was like we bake in a pizza, in a, what do you call it? Yeah, not a pizza. Pita. In a pita oven where it's packed against the side of the oven. So then, now I can imagine having just the top covered with a pita. But, yeah, but I mean, we can't use the word pea if it's a reference to grain. So it's clearly talking about pot, okay? So it's like, okay, fine, I accept that. But a dainty boilu, I still have two ways of understanding. Does it mean kikisuye de tanura, or does it mean odilma kidara de rift to the harale lapuma de tanura? There's two ways of understanding the word pi tanur. Pi tanur can mean you actually put a piece of dough right in the mouth of the tanur. One piece of dough, which because of the fact that the tanur was made to get smaller and smaller as it comes, doesn't require much. But of course, that's a pretty silly way of baking. When you want to bake, you want to put your hand in and pack the edges. So even if you're around the top, you don't want to go down to, you don't have much bread, but you'll still put it around the lower edge of the piatanur. And that would be called piatanur. There's two ways of understanding piatanur. That's one approach. The other approach is that it means filling the oven with breads until it gets to the piatanur and covers it. But, yeah, but okay, in either event, it's certainly a tremendous difference between how to understand whether it means just right around the pea, or does it mean that because of the usage of the tanur, the pea now becomes full. Take, we don't know what the case was over there in Ashkelon, and therefore exactly how to apply this. The Yod Gazruta Anit al Shachluze Evim, then we have the Machlokas, did the wolves actually eat little Red Riding Hood, or did they just threaten her, and so on. These were two kids. On Lemaisa, we know that actually there was a case where wolves did eat children, and there was an actual Shaila about the remains. On the Holy Mishum Rav Shimon Bar Yosef, there was a Maisa. It was not necessarily to be this Maisa, and we might have conflated the two stories, which is why we had the Machlokas about whether they were actually eaten or not. But there definitely was a Maisa where Ze'evim actually swallowed Shnei Tinokot. The question whether swallowing means swallowed whole, or it means eight. There's a way bolu, just as a way of referring to eating. It's my folks Rashi tells us over here about the mode, whether the Bosra would have a din of two men in a case where they were just swallowed and not chewed. So the Tosfos Tainis gets Rashi's shot, they were swallowed. But this is not the main place where Rashi would give a thought. There's a Shaila whether the Bosra would have been considered to be Nitakel and therefore lose its two if they had been swallowed whole. Okay. But whatever the case is, certainly the skeletal remains would be tummy. So, v'yikiyum derech beit ha'ri'i, and then they basically defecated the remains of these kids. Ubama aseh lefnei chachamim v'tiyaru et ha'basar. They were metayer, the basar from tumat meit, because it was considered to be digested. V'timu et ha'atzamot, the atzamot are not considered to be digested, because they don't digest. And therefore, they would still be metame tumas meit. Al ilu matri'im b'shabbat. Turn around. Al ir. Echad ir. So that's those dinim that we do on Shabbos. That's benogea the rabbi. But a yochid, echad yochid shenirdaf mipnei nochrim or mipnei listim or mipnei ruach ra'ah. Again, very interesting case. Ruach ra'ah means that a person, it's be like Alzheimer's, a person has lost awareness of his surroundings, having a psychotic episode, walking around, in which case he is endangered. He could fall off a building, he could fall into a river, he could cross a busy street. So that's considered to be an actual sakana right there and then. And over there, if you can't find a guy, it happens very often in cases of Alzheimer's, in which somebody wanders off. I mean, you have a nevach on the radio often. They ask, "Mishtara, atzibur mitbakesh, we need your help in finding such and such person. He's confused, where he is." So over here, somebody who is suffering from such a dementia. So over there, that's also considered to be for the individual, but it's not, we can't be matriach at sibur. Very interesting halacha. We can't be matriach at sibur on every individual that's got a problem. This people have forgotten about in the internet. No, I'm very serious. From the Gemara, you have a very serious basis to what is a tzibur's business and what is an individual's business. As far as making mishaberachs and shul and being matriach for such a person and so on, it's not a tzibur's, but tzibur cannot be taken up with every yachid across the world, even a yachid in their own area. Yachid is a yachid. Tzibur, I'm not sure this is the right Rishonim or Mazbir. Those Rishonim at all, we split this into two sections. First section Tzibur, second section Yachid, and the reason for it being you can't be Matriach at Tzibur every time somebody's got a problem, and then what have a tinus, and it has to be Miyad, and even Sheni B'chamishi Sheni wouldn't make any sense. We're going to wait now till Monday, but you're not going to use a tinus on the Tzibur if it isn't. Therefore, it's clear the whole din of tinus Tzibur does not apply to an individual in a Tzibur, despite the fact that if an individual dies, dies in a tzibur, the whole tzibur is mitbatel to go to the funeral and so on. But that's a different level of communal response to the pain of a yochid. And therefore, we don't put around internet listings that everybody who has the internet should immediately be mispalo for such a tefillah urgently needed. A yochid who knows this person can be mispalo and so on. There's no such thing as calling the world to be mispalo for somebody. So there, the yochid, however, who does care, he has a right. It's only a right. It's only a heter. It's a right that a yochid has if he feels very deep concern to be misagef et atzmo. Rishai l'sagef et atzmo betani. If he wants to, he can put himself into a tainit for such a thing. But we're not all that happy. As we saw before, a tainit is not something that's all machlokas we had earlier. Is it nikra chayte, nikra kadosh? And the machlokas before, you have to be able to judge yourself, see how well you function. Maybe there's other things in life that are more important, and so on. But here you have a right to be misagef et atzmo. By the way, before I should say, the person who is having the problem does not have such a right, because he needs to be in full control of his energy levels and his reactions, and so you have no right, when you're in a matzav of sakana, to lessen your ability to respond to that sakana. And that's all that we need. Somebody's lost in the jungle and says, you know what, I'll make a tiny spoon. It's pretty bad. So, but the same thing is true. It sounds funny when you put it that way. But Lamaisa, the same thing is true. We will see later on. We'll talk about it in endeavor. But he's allowed to. Rabbi Yossi says, there's no such thing as allowed to. You're not allowed to. In Ayachid, Rishai L'Sagef, that's Mobitani. We don't support this idea of an individual who's taking the world's burdens on his shoulders and making a tainis all the time. What's going to happen with this guy? I mean, what happens if Lamaisa, he ends up weakening himself and he doesn't work as well and he misses out on a couple of good deals and now he's going to be sitting at the street corners asking you for help? And what are you going to say? You're going to say, you know what? You deserve it. You think you're so holy that you got to now go starve yourself. Why should people be merachem on somebody who was goreim latzmo? Omrev yuna merav, my time is Rabbi Yossi. Why does Rabbi Yossi say you're not allowed to put yourself in this position? Because it says, vayi adam lenefesh chaya. The word chaya means that the human condition is mechayev you to be alive. So therefore, nishama shenatati becha hachayeha. I expect you to take good care and enliven your soul. Don't sit there being misagif yourself. It's not what you were giving a living soul for. Shimona timni omer af al hadever v'lo hodu lo chachamim. So now, what does that mean? Lo hodu lo chachamim b'shabbat avo b'chol hodu lo. Now, it's a little bit weird because at the beginning of the sugi we said that you are masrin al hadever. There's a lot of different answers about this. Be'ikar, the difference between in your locality, if it's affecting your city, your neighborhood, it's certainly a masrin al hadever. Perhaps the case over here was the shaila whether surrounding areas are concerned for Dever. So is it dafkan Shabbos that lo hodulo chachami, but b'chol hodulo, aldum alo hodulo klal. The shaila is, why in the world would they not be made on Dever? Certainly it's a ma'alechet, right? I mean, so we said ma'alechet. I mean, why not? It's a very, very interesting halacha l'maisa that is brought in numerous places. And this was from the time that Nebuch people suffered very often from Devers. And it's brought that it's boduk menusa that ta'anit lessens your resistance. That people who fast are more likely to get ill in the case of a Dever. Therefore, it's nonsensical to fast in order to be saved from Dever. That's like the case that we had about being lost in a jungle and fasting because you're lost in a jungle. So you should die a day earlier. it's crazy. But this is unbelievable halacha. It's not gerbet. Because the din is, again, I mean, it's brought in the Nisei Kalim. It's not brought the Pharisees halacha anywhere. That in case of Dever, there's no din of Avelut. Let's say five members of the family died. There's a mass plague. There's no Avelut. Because they found that Avelut weakens your resistance. So therefore, anything that would weaken your resistance, as Rav Avadi Yosef, is all true for Lamaisim, in cases where there's problems like that. Something that, there's no mitzvah to engage in something that may make you more open to a matzav sakona. Anything that could in any way affect you, you don't have a right to be misaneh. It's because of that the modern Paiskim don't allow women who are pregnant, or nursing even in many cases, to fast, even though the halacha says beferish, the ubrais we said we had before in the Mishnah. We're talking about between the seven taniyot and the other taniyot, that ubrais Brois and the Menikas are Mitzanis. Halacha L'maisa today, almost no one will allow a woman to fast. And this is because it's now Baduk HaMenusa. At least you believe it's Baduk HaMenusa. I mean, I don't know how well they analyze the statistics. I spoke about statistics did not show that, but it's popular. In any event, the popular reading of the statistics is that there's more miscarriages and sudden deliveries on Mitzvah Yom Kippur than there are at other times, and because of that. So, again, it's based on that same halacha. You're not allowed to be Mitzana in cases where it may cause any level of sakana. Obviously, you're not allowed to put yourself in the mouth of sakana, even psychological sakana. So if avelut lessens your resistance, then do the avelut some other time, but not when there's a question over your Pastor Shalom getting sick. The brisker, very mock. Very mock. But not fasting. Yeah, that means like a long time ago. Other places were caught up that. The brisker, very mock, but never to allow a woman to fast.
Even on the
Shabbat or what's the second? No, of course not. They're very mock. What they say is a very mach, not a very megal. Son Rabban.
So soldiers of war.
Not necessarily. I mean, that was the Titan against Shaul. Okay. That's what Yonatan was saying. What kind of business is it? We're in the middle of a fighting. You're telling us we're supposed to weaken ourselves. Crazy. Just take a look at me. I was feeling so weak. I had a little bit, and I'm feeling, now I continue to fight. What kind of business is that? And the people who are actually in the field should not be fasting. The people at home. Son Rabban. So here we said, Al Kol Tzarah. Oh, no, wait a second. Yeah. That was Rabbi Akiva. No, I didn't say Rabbi Akiva. Or I did. I'll say it again, just me. Rabbi Chana bar Pitom, Talmidosh Rabbi Akiva, Mishum Rabbi Akiva Omer, Ein Madrin ala Dever Kol Iker even Bechol, and that would be the reason of it is Mas. Al Kol Tzarash Lo Tovol Atzibur. Turn around. Al Kol Tzarash. I mean, Rashi has a completely different approach, by the way. It's a very strange approach. Rashi's approach is that it's clearly a Gezerim in Hashemayim. There's nothing to do about it, and so on. I mean, which everybody asks on him, what's that supposed to mean? Is it a filu cherev chadam nachat al tzavarosh al adam? I mean, it's obviously past the stage of Gezera, nonetheless, you're supposed to do whatever you could possibly do. So what are we supposed to basically give up on something because it's a Gzera and that's it? What does Rashi mean? An amazing Rashi. Al-Kol Tzara, Shalot Avol HaTzibur. Tan Rabban, Al-Kol Tzara, Shalot Avol HaTzibur, Matri Inalea, Chutz Mirov Gishami. Too much rain, we're not Matriana. Obviously, as the Rambam explains, it doesn't mean that the rain is causing damage. It's not causing actual damage. It's just making life miserable for everybody. If it's causing damage and homes are collapsing and fields are being ruined, I mean, obviously, it's no different than any other tzara that we spoke about before. It comes under the rubric that we had of buildings collapsing or things like that. Here we're talking about rain that we simply don't need. Our cisterns are full. It's past the time that we need the rain for agriculture. We've got plenty of rain. And right now we're just being miserable. So you're not misfiled for such a thing. My time. Something that is be'etzim good. You don't have the kelim to handle that good. Like the mice with the pach hashem. Right? She says, have you owed Kelly? I don't have another Kli. She would have had more Caleb. She could have bought up Viacom. But okay, that's all she had. So because you don't have Caleb, so no good. It's good. Okay. So you can't ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't give me your good. Not interested. What kind of tefillah is that? From Reb Yochanan, how do I know? I mean, I chained the talim al rova tova. She neemar havil et kol ha-ma'asar al beit ha-otzar. And we spoke about this before, but Hanunin Obazot, the story of the Reish Lakish's son with Reb Yochanan. And it says, v'arikoti lachem bracha ad belidai. So what's the meaning of ad belidai? Ad belidai, my ad belidai. And we said before that it means, Omar Rami Baravyud, ad sheyivlus yiftotechem ilom adai. It means that your lips will wear out from saying enough already. So in other words, that's a shaila so. Okay, so if your lips are wearing out, that means you are saying enough. So what's the different approaches in what's the raya? I mean, it doesn't say that you're supposed to be misfollow on it. But I mean, it's partial. That despite the fact that you keep saying, gee, I wish the rain would stop, it's a bracha. The bracha is going to keep coming. You don't like it, you can't handle it. But we said before, deeper meaning. Until the end of the limitations of the kalim comes, ad beli dai, there's no longer a concept of it's enough. Because enough is always defined by limitations that are imposed from the outside of the kalim. The deeper meaning is until there are no longer any limits, is what it really means. No. Omar, yeah.
Soon enough.
Yeah? Yeah. Omar Rami Baravyut, Ubagola in Babel, there it's a serious sakana. This is the basis, really, of the psak, that it, where it consists, where it's actually damaging, so then it's a problem. There are matrina there. Tanya Rami Yochi, Shana Shigishamea Mirubin. The Anche Mishmar send a message to the Bnei Yisrael, the Anche Ma'amad, and they do basically the tefillot while the Kohanim are doing the Aveda. So it's, they say to them, please remember, remember those poor people living in Bavel. They've got such a high water table over there. Even a little bit of rain is enough to cause mudslides and collapses and so on. And keep them in mind. Don't only think about us here in the Eretz Yisrael with our mountains and we're happy and so on. But you have to remember they don't need that much rain. Be mispala for them too. Shaluz Rav Eliezer ad eichan gishamim yordim bitpalalut shelo yerdu. What really would be the point at which we would consider it to be a sakana that we would actually be mispalal? Amar lehem kedei she'amod adam bekeren ofel. Here is Barnea's neighborhood. Person should be standing on the edge of the ofel. V'yishakshech raglav b'mayim. He should be able to move his feet in the water. That means it's gotten awfully high. Wait, doesn't the practice say yadav v'raglav in water? Vatani Yadav, it says Yadav Bamayim, sorry. Vatani Yadav, not Raglav. Answers the Gemara, what it means is Raglav Ki Yadav, or Raglo Ki Yadav is Rashi here. In other words, it should be enough that you could reach it without any danger to put your hand in it. That level is what we're talking about. Doesn't mean that you're actually walking around where it's over the level of the stone, but that same way you would bend down and you could touch it with your hands, or you could stick your foot into it and be Mekashkesh. Omar Rabba Barbachana, of course, Rabba Barbachana always has a little bit of an exaggerated view of things. So Rabbi Barbachana said, I actually saw this Karanofa, the Kama Utaya. There was this Arab that was riding by while he was on a camel. Yerokiv Gamla. You remember that Rabbi Barbachana is our Paul Revere, Paul Bunyan reporter from Baba Basra. So over here, he saw this Arab on a camel. V'nakid rumcha b'yad, and he was carrying a spear in his hands. It was quite high. And I, who was standing on Karen Ovel, looked down at these guys. And mitchazya inivya. To me, he looked like a little worm. That's how high I was. Barely make him out over there, even though you think he was quite high. Didn't even register. All I saw was a little worm with a tail. You know.
Okay. One moment. The locust. 1915. Lewis Larson witnessed the first attack. Quote: suddenly we heard what seemed to be the roar of water falling. And when we looked into the sky, we saw a cloud of fine flying things soon to land all over the ground. All green trees, bushes, and grasses were eaten by the locusts as if a fire was let loose in the forest. Only the trunks and branches of the trees were untouched. And he was a photographer. So here's a picture of the locusts in the air.
Okay. Well, that's at the time?
This is at the time. He was a photographer with a camera.
But this takes a colored picture.
With a fantastic process of the Swedish colony photographers.
Really?
Here is a before and after of Gad Shmonim. Gentlemen, take a look at this close. This is full of plants and flowers. This is after the same priest is in the field.
What's the name of
this book? The Dream of Jerusalem, Swedish colony photographers.
Wow. So what process?
They were here to photograph the... there's a Hester in there. I don't remember the name.
And what year is
it? Those pictures, 1915. These were submitted to the Turkish government on the
standard. They weren't hand colored?
This led to Gulas Yerushalayim. This was submitted to the Turkish government to understand the severity of locust plague. So therefore, they hired Aaron Aronson to help prevent the next one. So therefore, he was able to spy and help the British win Israel.
Wow.
That picture looked like it was from last year, the year before. Sorry. A locust from the winter, you lost?
Yeah. Well, where's the before and after?
Yeah, we have
the oh, it's the same picture.
It's the same picture.
The grass is this big.
There's nothing left.
Wow. Oh my God.
It was bigger than a bird. It was bigger than a bird. Certain circus. It was a scout or something.
Well, now we know why the only trees that are left are the cedar. They apparently don't like the. They don't eat evergreen leaves.
The olive leaves seem to be in place as well.
Oh, really?
Not a bird.
Oh, yeah. Change, but I guess they're a little bitter.
There's another picture.
Maybe they eat the olives.
And anyways, they came right after.
Olives before they're prepared.
Little hummus on the side.
Yeah, and then they came to Israel a few months later. These were very big.
Wow. This is impressive.
They had home together.
Wow. That was well worth it.
We caught one in our house that was when the locust came.
What, sorry, got the wrong one? Habekochol shadai to the rov and bishum de abaya. Avelim istayecha de kamaganita kol akrocha. The broker chazor habishchir b'shuka de belefet habishchir fil yogabe. Omele ikabai shuka bar almadati omele lo. Hadachiv aachati ahu gabe. Davisayim esani ukli velo rami chutet tchal to blime. Omale. Oh, Haribar Amadi Atihu. So here we have to insert. Korale Veloata Legabe. Rahat Abatre. Omale Mayuk. The Omale Zila Itna Talamachan. The Machar Omale Mayuk. The Omale Zandukana Veasana Gabe Lakut Venashi Lakut. Ramina Purai Ben Hani Lahani Kechlo later the day Sura. Kikazina Bat Israel. The Avi Nochrim Allah Inayu. Basana Navshari Matsil Nala. Yumar Chag. Avinaramu Urasaga Bandi Avu Nachrim Einayu. Shakli Dordaya the Hamre Veshadaya Bele Veshupula. Viamre Distanai. What's the Scarlet Pimpernel. This is the ultimate Scarlet Pimpernel. Literally. So, Omar Lay. My time let like a chute bramita besani uchme. Omale aylana venafik da beni nochrim. Kiech rolei do the yoda ana. Ki avigaz exiratem da ana lo la rabbanu lo borachmi vatu exirutayu. My time kamino lecha ana mayultecha vamartu izila yidna vatala machar. Omale because by ishat agaz exirata vim bereishes of hashemale vel rabbanu lo borachmi ala demilta. Ad achi achi ata ana tre achi. Omalei Eliyo, Hanagnami, Bnei Amadiyati Ninu. Ozu Lagabaya, Omalu, Mai Uvdataychu. Omalei, Inche Beduche Anan. Uvdachinana Tzive, Inami Kichazina Betray, the Yidle Tigra Bahadayu, Tarchinan, Vavdinan Lushalma. Aleilu Matrin, Bechoma Kom Tunravana. Aleilu Matrin, Bechoma Kom Alashitafon, Vala Yerakon, Yala Arabe, Vachasuva, Chayara A. Rabbi Akiva, Omala Shitafon, Vala Yerakon, Bechoshu. Arba v'chasil afilu lo nira v'eretzol l'knaf echad, matin aleihem. Al chayatan rabban, chayar ha'asha amru, bizman shi mishulachat matin aleha, but eina mishulachat ein matin aleha. Ezoi mishulachat, ezoi she'ena mishulachat, nireit be'ir mishulachat. V'sade eina mishulachat, bayom mishulachat, ba'layla eina mishulachat. Rata shnei v'nei olam ratzta achreihem, mishulachat. V'rebeit mipneim eina mishulachat. Tarfa shnei b'nei adam v'achla achad mihem mishulachat. Achlashnehem inam mishulachat. Alta legag, natla tinok miarisa, mishulachat. No gufakash. Amet nirata biir mishulachat, lo shla biyom, lo shla belaiva. Vohoda amret, biyom mishulachat, belaiva inam mishulachat. Lo kash, achikama. Nirata biir bayom mishulachat, biir belaiva inam mishulachat. Or basade, afilo bayom inam mishulachat. Rata shnei bnei adam ratztachri mishulachat. Mashma, in other words, that omedet inam mishulachat. Then you turn around and you say, nechbeit mipneim inam mishulachat. But omedet is mishulachat. Make up your mind. Nukashe kan besade smucha lagam, kan besade shein asmucha lagam. Tarfa shnei bnei adam ki achad v'yachla achad meyem mishulachat. Shneiem inam mishulachat. Amrat afilo ratzta. Amrat papa ki tani ahi ba'agma. Then you say, Alta Lagag, Natal Tinok Miarisa, Mishulachat Pshita, Amrev Papa, Bekubit Tzayadi. Allah Kherev Tanaraban Kherev Shamru, and it's Sarah Lomar Kherev Shaino Shal Shalom. Afilo Kherev Shal Shalom, Shemaka Kherev Shal Shalom, you turn me paron the whole. We have a pike in Mirshaba, Mel of Yoshio. Shinemar, Vaishlach, they love Malachim Limon, Mali Malach, Melak Yudalo, Alecha, Ayon. Ki Abed Milchamti, Elohim Amarla Valeni, Hadalacham Elohim Ashrimi. Vayashki Techa, Omamaya lo Yibashirimi, Omrev Yuda Mrabzwa Vodazar, Omar Hoyle the Kabata Vodazar, Deh, for sure Yachinolai. And in the end, Vayorua Yorin Lamelok Yoshio, Vayomra Belgravadava, Virunike Echaliti Maod, Mine Echaliti Maod, Omrev Yuda Mrabzwa Lamish Asuko Gufok Echvara, Omrishwoma Nagmeni Omrev Yonatan, Mide Mane and Nash Yoshio, Mide Shayalu Limalek Birmio Volonimla, my Dorash. Nonetheless, it wasn't for him to do. Ruach apenu Mashiach Hashem. Maaseh v'yordu zekinim Yerushalayim l'orei yama molei ptanur shenira v'ashkelon yiboru. K'molei tanur tfu'ah, odiyom k'molei tanur pat. Tashma, k'molei pi tanur. Okay, but adayin tiboyelu kikisuya de tanura, odiyom k'idara de rifta, do adalei v'kumele tanura. Take. V'od gazro ta'anit ha'sha'achlu ze'evim shnei tinokot. Amru l'mishim rebishim ben yotzado. Ma'aseh u'balu ze'evim shnei tinokot v'ikyum derech bet ha'ri'in. U'bo ma'aseh lefnei chachamim v'tiyaru et ha'basar v'timu et ha'atzamot. Aleilu matrim b'shabbaton rabban. Ir shikifu ha'nochrim o nahar. U'reach ha'tzvina mitrafet ha'yam. Takad yachid shenedat yutei nochrim v'bein v'istim v'bein ruach ra'a. U'kulam yachid u'shay v'sagev t'atzvo b'tanit. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Eina Yechid Rishayt Segev Tatsuwa Betani, Shema Yitztarek Lebriot, Veina Briot Marachamot Olam. Om Rabbi Yom Rab, my time, Rabbi Yossi, Tirti Vahi Ha'adam Nefesh Chaya, Nishama Shnatati Becha Ha'chayeha. Shimon Atim Ne Omer, Afal Adever, Ibo Elu, V'lo Hodu Lo Chachomi means, B'Shabbat, Avo B'chol Hodu Lo, Odu Lo Hodu Lo Kral, Tashma Netanya, Matrin Adever B'Shabbat, Vein Tzarek Lomar, B'chol, Rabbi Hanan ben Peter, Tamidosh Rabbi Akiva, Mishum Rabbi Akiva Omer, Ein Matin Adever Kolika, meaning Afilo Bechol. Al Kol Tzara, Shalotav Ala Tzibor, Tana Rabban, Al Kol Tzara, Shalotav Ala Tzibor, Matri In Aleha, Chutz Mirov Geshami, Mai Taima, Omar Rabbi Yohanan, Lefi She'en Mitpalin Al Rov Tova, Omar Rabbi Yohanan, Minayin She'en Mitpalin Al Rov Tova, Shinem Rabbi Yot Kolama Asara Beto Tzar, Barikoti Lachem Bracha Ad Belidai, Mai Ad Belidai, Omer Rami Barav Yud, Achi Yivus, Yifto Techem in Amadai, Omer Rami Barav Yud, Ubagolam Atin Alea, Tanya Nami Yachi, Shanashi Kishamea Merubin, Anshem Mishmar, Shofim Lanshem Ma'amad, Tunu Elechem Bachachem, Shabagola, Shloyei, Bateyem Kivrehem, Shalu et Rabbi Eliezer, Ad Efen Gishamim Yordim, Yitzpalalu Shalu Yerdu, Omar Lam Kedish Yamod Adam Bekeren Ofel, Yishachshech Raglav Bamay, Batanya Yadan, Ani, רגלב כי ידב כאמינה. אומר רבא ברבחן, לדידי חזה לקרן אופל, דקמה הוא טייק ירופת גם לבנה כברונך ביודי, אין מתחזי לי כי אני ויה.